couple of bayous to it, and then that's what we had down there. And I had to take a lot of back roads, and of course, being a volunteer fireman, I had my own car. I didn't ride in the fire truck. I had my little red light and, you know, all that stuff, and was trying to get back. Well, I just turned a corner when from out of this fence line jumped the biggest cotton-picking buck you ever want to see in your life. This thing had to have 28 to 32 points. Had the kind that had, and he had them horns dripping down the side. He looked like he was Hasidic Jewish because he had those things going down the side. And he was the size of a horse. And I'm not talking about a little bitty Shetland pony. I'm talking Clydesdale. He was huge. And the only thing that could run through my mind at that time was that stupid song, The 30 Point Buck. Have y'all ever heard that one? That's what I was seeing. But he looked at me and I didn't slow down because I couldn't slow down. It was so fast. And he just looked at me and he jumped across the other fence line. So I had to think, who's going to believe me? Who's going to believe me when I tell it? Well, I had to tell it. You don't see something like that every day and not talk about it. And it turns out that this animal was a legend in that area. Supposedly, it still carried several arrows and several rounds of buckshot in its hide. Yet, there it was. Now, some believed me, some laughed, and some teased me about it for months to come. In fact, they nicknamed that deer Rudolph. I don't know why they always nicknamed deers Rudolph, but there he was. And sometimes, you know, we see and we experience things that are hard to believe, yet they are real nonetheless. And I think if I were to take a poll of everybody here, you would tell me of things that you experienced in your life that no one would really believe unless they had been there. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Being there. Seeing something that you really can't explain and really, really can't hold in. You've got to tell people what you've seen and what you've experienced. And we're going to go back to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, I'm going to give a little caveat here. When I was little, they had this little book, and it was about a guinea pig, and the guinea pig's name was Olga the Polga. I don't know if y'all remember this or not, but there was a Christmas version of her story, and she heard these people singing, and she couldn't figure out why shepherds would be washing their socks at night. It's watching their flocks. Verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that the angels were gone away from them unto heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So here they are. These men were in the fields at night. They were in a field of smelly sheep. And guys, I don't know if y'all have ever been around sheep, but them boogers stink. And they bite. And they leave gifts frequently all over the place. They're not something that you want to tend to when you're wearing a three-piece suit, let me tell you. And out on this hillside in the Judean countryside, now, I do not need to remind you that Jesus' birthday is not on December 25th. I guess I just did. That is the day we choose to celebrate it. But these men were out in this. That is the day in the early church that decided to celebrate the birth of the Christ child. Neither the Gospel of Matthew nor the Gospel of Luke give the time of year. So it's appropriate to celebrate when we choose. Scholars have long argued that shepherds would not have been with their sheep overnight during the winter. And some other scholars counter that the mildness of the winters in that part of the world does not preclude that from happening. And others have argued that the birth of Messiah relates to the Feast of Tabernacles. That's April or May on our calendar, where the Jews celebrate the fact that God was with them during the Exodus in their time in the wilderness. Hence the name Emmanuel, or God with us, comes into play. God is with us. And when He was born that night, whatever night that was, He was the God-man that came. God became man. And it's a wonderful thing to celebrate. And since we do not know the exact date of birth, the celebration on the 25th is appropriate as any other day. However, there are some traditions, and I know I'm adding a lot here, but I want to get this so we can get this out of the way. There are some Catholic Church traditions that add things to the celebration that are not accurate. Primarily, and somebody's already confronted me on this, the wise men did not show up on Bethlehem the night He was arrived. Okay? They didn't. The star had been around 2 years leading them from the east. They did not come on Christmas night. They came after Christ was a toddler and was moved into a house in Bethlehem. Matthew 2:9 refers to Jesus as a paideon, which is a toddler, not an infant. There's another word for it. And they found Him in a house, which is oikeion, which is not a stable. But we put the two celebrations together. And that's appropriate. We can do that as long as we know what the truth is. Now, I believe it does no harm to celebrate the way we celebrate the wise men in the celebration. They were led by a star to the child. The shepherds, on the other hand, and let's get back to our shepherds. If I slip up Brother Allen and say cowboys, I'm going to blame you, all right? Let's read that part where the angel showed up once again. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Notice, tidings of great joy for all people. Not just the children of Israel, but to all people. This Messiah, this one born, that was going to be on the throne of David, a Messiah, a king over Israel forever, ever, was also going to be the Messiah for all people. It's amazing. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, we're going to get to title of the sermon. Did we really see that? Yes, the shepherds really saw that. The shepherds were blessed. The point was brought out that when the announcement was made, it was made to the lowliest of men. When Jesus was asked about John the Baptist, He said, what did people go out to see? Some rich king? Kings are found in kings' houses. I'm going to add a little here, dressed in purple and things like that. No, the news was announced to the lowliest of people. Why? Because it was a bottom-to-top revelation. The people were going to hear it, and then the news would spread, the gospel would spread, and eventually would make its way into kings' houses. But in the very beginning, it was given to the common man. So here these common men are, minding their own business, when this angel, and we're not told that this is Gabriel, we meet Gabriel and three of the other things, when he talked to Zechariah, when he talked to Matthew, and he talked to Mary. We're not told which one it was here. It just says, an angel of the Lord. And he interrupts their evening. They're probably sitting around the fire, maybe doing some head counting of the sheep. The other one guy waking up the other guy, hey, you counted too many sheep, you fell asleep. But some of y'all will get that, some of you might not. But they had, you know, they talked. And this angel suddenly shows up and gives them this great news. Now, these men, even though they were of the lowest class, they were still Jewish. They were familiar with the things and Jewish traditions. They knew that there was a Messiah that would be coming and that all Israel waited on Him. Now, this angel, surrounded by the glory of God, scared the ever-loving daylights out of them. And they were sore afraid. That's the old King James way of saying they were shaking in their sandals. And I can't blame them. You know, I'm out there in the middle of the night with a bunch of sheep, and all of a sudden this angel shows up and the glory of God fills the skies. Are we really seeing this? Did we really see that? What in the world is going on here? However, the news they received was the greatest news ever heard by mortal man. The greatest news. The Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God had come. It's not that He will come. He has showed up down there in the city of David, Bethlehem. Christ the Lord is born. A Savior has been given to you. And you know, shepherds, if you go down there, it's funny how the angels always end up having a southern accent when I'm preaching. But you go down there, you're going to find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. There was going to be proof that what the angels said was going to be true. He is born in Bethlehem. And then, before they could draw a breath, a multitude of the heavenly host appeared and sang a song of praise to God and a song of hope to men. Now here, the King James is a little awkward. The Greek verse 14 says, "And on earth peace among men of goodwill." However, we traditionally say, "And on earth peace, goodwill toward man." When the angels told the shepherds they would find a babe, the word we'd use was brephos. That's infant. That's different than the word we say. So we know that this was at the very exact moment He was born. You know, I kind of feel sorry for Mary and Joseph. I really do. Here they were, Mary, never had been pregnant before, didn't know what to expect. Poor old Joseph delivering a baby. Now, I'm sure they didn't have EMT and paramedic classes to teach these guys how to do it. And I feel more sorry for Joseph. Mary did what came naturally. Joseph was probably running around like a chicken with his head cut off. First time I ever delivered a baby, I was scared to death. But all I had to do is just let what happened happen and clean up afterwards. And that's what poor old Joseph did. But you see, both of them knew this child was different. You know, the Greek that we read points to the fact that Messiah coming should bring peace among men with goodwill toward God's and others, toward God and others. And they saw this child and they knew what the angels had told him. But then a commotion starts. She and he hear these ruffians, these shepherds, they're coming in, they're busting in the middle of the night. Mary is tired, she's exhausted, she's wore out, Joseph is scared out of his gizzard. And yet these shepherds show up, and they look at each other, and they look at the babe that was there just as the angel had said in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, and they look at each other and they go, "Cool! This is real! The angel told us the truth!" They had to tell others the good news. Now let's read again verses 15 through 18. It says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the angels said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Now that's just what we just talked about. It says they made haste. They were running. I mean, if an angel tells you something, you need to find out if it's right or not, or true or not. And they did. And Mary and Joseph are sitting there in that stable, in that cave, surrounded by animals. And all this hooting and hollering starts going on, and all this commotion and rattling, and these men come busting in. And it says in 17, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered about all those things which were told to them by the shepherds." Now these shepherds did not stop at the cave. They went out until Bethlehem, into the town, and they were shouting and they were praising God and they were telling everybody, "Hey, these angels showed up and they told us the Messiah was born. And we went there and there He was." What if an angel showed up and told you, "God has heard your prayers and He has left you a gold brick at a certain location. And you can find this brick, this gold brick, if you look for a certain sign. Now, would you sit and do nothing Or would you go and find out if what the angels had told you was true? Now, that's a bad analogy, and you can break it down, and I understand that. But the greatest news that was ever told was delivered by an angel to a bunch of common shepherds. And I've used this before. They were a bunch of what early century Palestine would be considered rednecks. You know, Jesus and God has this thing for common folks. He used a bunch of redneck fishermen as disciples, and He used a bunch of redneck shepherds to tell them about the good news. And that's a good thing. Because you saw what happened when Herod was told that a king was born. When you tell other kings that a new king is born, he's coming into town, what are they going to do? They're going to try to protect their throne. They're going to do whatever is necessary. Whatever is necessary to destroy what they consider the interloper. And old Herod, we know, he pulled a Pharaoh. Remember when Pharaoh and Moses, he had all the newborn Hebrew children murdered. Herod had all the children, male children, 2 years and under, from the time the star appeared, slaughtered. In fact, there is a prophecy in the Bible that says Rachel weeping for her children, and she refuses to be comforted because they are no more. Guys, we've seen horror in our century, in the century before. But you think about these soldiers running through a town killing 2-year-old male children. We don't know what horror is until we've experienced similar things. But you see, God became man. And the devil, he tried to destroy God's plan in Eden. He tried to destroy it when Israel turned against God. He tried to destroy him with the Egyptians and Pharaoh. He tried to destroy him with the Greeks in the intertestamental period. He tried to destroy him with the Romans. And he tried to destroy God when Herod was king. And even after that, he's tried. But he has never, and he can never, defeat the God who became man. But you see, we teach and preach of a God who not only became man, but He stayed God at the same time. Jesus of Nazareth was 100% God and 100% man. Well, how can He be that? It's a mystery. But you know what? It's truth. It's truth. And these shepherds wanted to tell everybody about it. So these smelly shepherds burst into town and sought out Mary, Joseph, and the baby. Now think of poor Mary again. She'd just given birth, and now these smelly shepherds show up. And you know, we know that later on she's going to have some weirdo show up and play a drum solo in the middle of the night. Some of you will get that and some of you won't. That's okay. No, not really. But they come barrel into the stable. And then after they confirm what the angel had said to them and Mary treasured up what she'd been told, they went out into this town and spread the good news to all those who would hear. You know, we put off the spreading of the good news to other people. I don't know how many times I've been told, well, that's what we pay you to do, preacher. Okay, that's true. But does the Bible say only preachers are allowed to share the good news? No, it does not. In fact, it says ministers is for the training and equipping of the saints to carry out the ministry of the gospel. So basically, my job, biblically, is to train you to go out and spread the good news. But I like doing it too. I love telling people about Jesus. I love helping people who are hurting. And I'm not talking about just a moment of sorrow like a funeral or sickness. I'm talking about hurting just from life. You know, sometimes when people are down and they know that they're sinners and they're filled with sin and they're grasping for a hope, a person who shares with them the good news of Christ is metaphorically the same as that angel who suddenly shows up and is surrounded by the glory of God and tells them, there is hope in Jesus, a Savior is given unto you. And all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is have faith. Now, will you still have bumps and problems and trials? Yes. Never ever hear me say, as long as you believe, everything's going to go right. No, brothers and sisters, we've all been in this world long enough to understand that ain't the way it happens. But when things that happen that are normal to men happen to us, we have a God and a Savior that was given to us in Bethlehem, went and lived a perfectly sinless life, died on the cross, buried for 3 days, and rose again. Ascended unto heaven from which He will return to judge the living and the dead. You see, we go through life with Christ, with the Holy Spirit that was given to us. Mary couldn't rest, but she pondered these things. Now she had an angel show up. She had to tell Joseph eventually. And she told Joseph before Joseph had his visit from the angel. Remember, he was pondering how to put her away. So she had to tell him, but then the angel showed up in Matthew to Joseph and told him what was going on. And now these shepherds are running around saying, hey, these angels came to us. And she pondered all these things. Now, there would be a couple of more people 8 days later in the temple. We're going to preach on them the last Sunday in December, Simeon and Anna, about how they said things to Mary, and she pondered those in her heart also. All this information she was gathering up to understand. And these shepherds told all those that would hear. And it says in verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things. You know, when you tell somebody about Jesus Christ, they wonder. They wonder, are you telling the truth? Sometimes they wonder if you're a nut. And that's okay. I'd rather be a nut for Jesus than anything else. Because it's not really being crazy. It's having the wisdom of God as opposed to the wisdom of man. The wisdom of God is foolishness to man, but it is the wisdom of the Creator of the universe. Now, which one would you rather have? I would rather have the good news, the wisdom, the good news that Christ was born, that in that city of David, a long time ago, a Savior was born that would be for all people. Myself included. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to know of this. And what are the shepherds? They went back to their fields, changed forever by the announcement of the great news that God had sent His Messiah to them and to all men. What happens when God intervenes in your life with great news? You're changed. When you're told you have a son or you have a daughter, it changes your life, doesn't it? When you're told something good and wonderful happens, it changes your life. Now, we know, of course, when it's negative, it changes your life too, but we're going to leave the sorrow off. This is good news. This is joy. This is good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Brothers and sisters, you know yourselves that Christ came into this world for what reason? Out of His own mouth, He came to save that which is lost. He came to save sinners. He came to save me and you. And that is good news. That is great news. For without that babe in Bethlehem that grew up and became that strong carpenter. And I get a kick out of seeing these pictures of Jesus as an adult, and He's this little old pale-faced, measly little feller, you know, a few little scraggly whiskers. If Jesus was a carpenter, He was cut. He was strong. He was a man's man. And to put up with Peter and that bunch, He had to be. I believe that's the real Jesus. A Jesus that knew what He was doing. Why? Because He created everything. Obviously, He knew what He was doing. But He came into this world to save sinners. And since all men have fallen short of the glory of God, we needed one. We needed a Savior. And so God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, what would it have been if the angel would have said that verse right then to those shepherds? Well, He did. He said, a Savior has been born unto you. What is a Savior except someone who saves you from something? And since man had separated himself by sin unto God, the only thing that could save men was a Savior, who is Christ, the anointed of God, the Lord God. Oh my goodness, brothers and sisters, what good news. What great tidings. What a bunch of men for that to be announced to. Did we really just see that? Yes, we did. Well, we better get going. Do you really know the good news? And if you do, why are you still sitting on the hillside with the sheep? Didn't God call you to go out and tell all those that would hear the good news that He loves them and He forgives them and that He wants them to be with Him forever? Imagine the conversation after they had spread that, going back into that field. Could they ever look at those sheep again? Oh yeah. God gives you a job to do in this world, a secular occupation type job, and you do that. But at the same time, you're telling everybody that God sends in your path for that purpose, the good news. This news is good. In fact, it's as good, if not better, than was heard by the shepherds. The shepherd or the Savior has been born to you. We see not only the shepherd, the great shepherd, in the manger, we see Calvary. And we see the cross on top. For without the cross, the manger would have made no sense. You think about that for a second. One of the best pictures I've ever seen was it was just a picture of a manger, but there was a shadow of a cross. He came in this world to die. We don't want to think about the baby in the manger as having to die, having his beard ripped out, having the crown of thorns thrown upon his head, being beaten and scarred until he did not even look like a man. In fact, he was so marred and so scarred that none other than Pontius Pilate had to look at him and say, "Ego me! There's the man." No, I made a mistake. Ego me means I am. I made a mistake. But he said, "Here's the man." Brothers and sisters, Christ is before you now. You know, there was a movie, and this is going to sound, try to be humorous, but I'm not. There was a movie several years ago, you know, Talladega Nights. I had Ricky Bobby, the race car driver, and he was talking about all he wanted was the baby Jesus. How many of y'all remember that? I like the baby Jesus because that means God became man. But I want the grown-up Jesus. I want the one that died in my place so that I can go and be in front of the throne of God forever and ever, praising Him because of what the Lamb did. Brothers and sisters, that was what we look forward to. All men have fallen short of the blood, but whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So what do we do, brothers and sippers? Brother and sisters, I tell you, when the Holy Spirit makes you try to speak ahead of yourself, it gets kind of complicated. So what do we do when we hear this great news? Do we run to find Christ? And do you know where He's at? He's at the same place He's been. Physically, He's at the right hand of God the Father. But through the Holy Spirit, He's in each heart of each believer. He is there ready for you to call upon the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. And then the Holy Spirit will enter you, and you will be a child of God by faith. And nothing can take that away from you if it's true. Now, you can pretend, but pretending ain't going to get you anywhere. Pretending's not going to be there when the hardships come. When the persecution come, when the trial comes, it's just like that seed that was planted by the wayside and the thorns grew up and choked it. If you're not a real believer, when all the stuff of life comes up and tries to choke it out, you're going to bail. You're going to run away. "Well, I never really did believe that stuff. Don't persecute me." Brothers and sisters, know, when the angels made the announcement to the shepherds, they believed. When the Holy Spirit makes the announcement to you and you believe, you are a sealed child of God. The good news. Do we run to find Christ? Do we break out into the streets and tell all that God sends our way? Imagine if our group right here went down to Main Street and every person we grabbed coming out of the barbecue and the down home and the saloon place that just opened. What is that place? Dollar Saloon? Broken Dollar? Something like that. Well, it's a restaurant. Not that I hang out in saloons, y'all know that. But we grab people and we tell them the good news. What would happen? What would happen? You know, I walk down the street sometimes on Thursdays. And I grab people that I meet and introduce myself. And sometimes I offer to pray for them. And sometimes I find out, just have a normal conversation, find out where they're from and what they do and stuff like that, and tell them who I am and where I serve and stuff. And those are some good conversations. Haven't had any bear fruit yet, but time's coming. Time's coming. You always plant expecting the growth to come later. So do we break out in the streets? Do we live as we should because we know the gospel that we have heard is true? Now, if we believe that a Savior has been given unto us, which is Christ the Lord, what do we do with that information? What do we do? Do we sit on it? If you got a lottery ticket and you know you had the winning numbers, would you keep it in the front seat of your car and sit on it constantly? No, you wouldn't. But if you cashed it in, I would expect 10% to the church, but don't tell me where it came from. No, brothers and sisters, if we know the gospel is true, then we live our lives accordingly. In faith that the Savior was given unto us. A child was born unto us, which is Christ the Lord. And we won't find Him as a babe lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. That was given to a certain group of men on a Judean hillside a couple thousand years ago. But we will know Him when we look into the garden and we see the stone rolled away. And we look inside the tomb and there's not a manger. There's an empty bier. B-I-E-R. The Lord is risen. He is not there. And we look unto God, the author and finisher of our faith, to give us the faith to believe that by faith, by grace, we have been saved through faith. And this not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, lest any man should boast. A gift given to us that we take, that we exercise, and that we live out. Because those shepherds saw what we are going to see. They saw the King as a baby. We are going to see the King in all His splendor. I got to thinking about that last night when we had the manger outside and had the little baby doll in it and stuff. And I said, yes, these people saw Christ as an infant and some saw when He was older. But do you realize when we see Him, we're going to see Him like they did in Daniel in the book of Revelation? The white hair, the fiery eyes, the gold sash, the white clothing, the feet of bronze. We're going to see Him in power and glory because He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And in doing that, He is also our Savior. Praise God forevermore. So come to Bethlehem on your way to Jerusalem. Come to the manger as you work your way to the cross. Leave your sheep and go be with the King. And brothers and sisters, in that way, we can say with the shepherds, did we really see that? And we can answer, yes. Yes, we did. And praise God for it. Praise team.